Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Saints Hour. Mike Haas, along with Saints Executive Vice President and General Manager Mickey Loomis. And Mickey, that's I don't know how you would have drawn it up any differently, but what a great way to start. And 2-0, and maybe this team was under the radar some. I don't know if 91 points, you can stay under the radar, but anyway, it is what it is, and that is a great start for this organization.
Yeah, obviously it's better than the alternative, number one. And look, I think coming out of training camp, we were optimistic. Obviously, there's some things that have to be proven, but it's looked good so far in terms of how the rosters come together. Some of these young guys are playing well. The veterans that are on our team have taken to this, offensive scheme, and things have fallen our way. But it's two games. We've got 15 more to go and a long road. And I think the most important thing here is that our guys understand that they're not going to get overly excited about the start. They're going to be focused on our opponent this week, I know it's a cliche about one game at a time, but it's a cliche for a reason.
And you don't have to go far if you're looking for a marker. And I agree with you. This is a veteran team with the DeMario Davises and guys like that and Cam Jordan. But hey, this team was 2-0 in this exact same situation last year. So you don't have to go far to say, look, this is two games. We got 15 more to go.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's exactly right. And look, there's teams that start the other way and they've been able to turn it around at times. So again, in the preseason, we weren't getting a lot of love from the national media, and we didn't listen to that. And we're not going to listen to it now when they're telling us how great we are.
And my assumption is you guys were okay with that. You went to Irvine, not a lot other than we had a ton of local coverage, but because of the way the NFL is, there wasn't a ton of national coverage, but I kind of felt like you guys got your work done. It didn't bother you at all. And if anything, maybe you got a little chip on the shoulder, but I essentially didn't bother you, right?
Well, it doesn't bother me. In fact, I kind of prefer it. So, I don't think that, and really, I don't think it affects teams in the NFL, whether you're being told how great you are or how bad you are. I think organizations, players, coaches are professional enough to put that aside and understand that it doesn't mean anything.
And I will say, and this is not a question because I'll just say it and get it out there, but I think it's going to be the same thing this week. When the victory over Carolina was, Carolina's not as good. Of course you beat them. And then Dallas was, the focus was on the Cowboys. And maybe the Cowboys weren't as good as we thought they were. And this week it's going to be, oh my gosh, the Eagles, it'll be all Eagles. It will not be anything about the Saints. So again, there's not a question there. Just throwing it out there because I think it's going to be the same thing this week. Had to be fun, because it was for me, to be in Arlington at that stadium in the second half. And you could really feel Saints fans making an impact there at the stadium.
I think, anytime we play, particularly in the Southern region, I feel like we have a lot of Saints fans that travel and show up at our games. And look, if we're successful, you're going to hear from them at the end of the game, just like, you would, even at our games. I think there's probably going to be a contingent of Philadelphia fans at our game this weekend, and hopefully we can keep them quiet.
Yeah, I think Philly's probably happy to be not having to play at Lincoln Financial this week. I have to wait and see. Is there the stats are just, they're gaudy. I don't know what else to say. Is there anything that sticks out for you, whether it's clearly the run game, offensive line, the turnovers? Is there a stat out there that you have looked at through two games that kind of sticks out for you?
Well, I mean, the obvious thing is just, our first team offense being so efficient. There's just not enough. We haven't played enough games to read anything into it. In 2011, we had six games where we scored 40 points or more. In 2018, we had six games where we scored 40 points or more. And look, we had 10 games in 11 that we scored 30 or more. And in 18, I think, as I recall, it was the same 10 games where we scored 30 or more. So I think we're used to scoring a lot of points. But when you're scoring a lot of points, look, the key is, are you holding the opponent to less than that? And so I just think, look, it's too early, too few games to get really excited and overread and overreact into the way any team performs at this point.
I guess just your overall thoughts about, the Clint Kubiak system. We watched it in training camp, but when you're up against each other, it's hard. And then in the preseason, you're not really showing it. I guess just your overall thoughts as to, again, it's like, he's like the quarterback, right? If it works, he's a genius. If it doesn't, he's not. But, and so it is what it is, but it has been, and even Dennis has talked about it a couple of times, in that you can still feel that the other teams don't know, we have one offensive kind of system for such a long time. They're still kind of feeling out, and adjusting to this offense. Just your thoughts about the new system.
Yeah. Well, I think this, look, I like the balance that we've exhibited so far, but you've said that correctly, is that, look, if it's working, then it feels like everybody's a genius. And if it's not, it feels like nobody knows anything. And I think the important thing is, with any offensive scheme, does it fit your personnel? And is it a scheme that can adjust to the talents of the players that you have? It's look, we're trying to put, and our coaches are trying to put players in position to be successful. And you do that by putting them in a position of asking them to do things that they do well, and the things that they don't do well, not asking that of them very often. And so I think our coaches are doing a good job in that regard.
When you're building this team, and the team, it was just in place, of course, but you build in this offseason, can you take an offensive system like Ken Kubiak, this is the system, and you guys learn it? Or do you vice versa, you go, okay, this is the system, let's get the players that work with this system? Or does the system come first and the players adapt?
Well, look, when you have the way the NFL is and the contracts that are in place, look, we have, a lot of our guys were in place already. And so there's it's probably a little bit of both, to be honest with you. But I think, look, when you go through the interview process, and when Clint is going through his evaluation process of, does he want to come? He's going to look at the roster and say, hey, look, these are guys that I want to work with. These guys have the kind of talent that and skill sets that I'm looking for in order to run the scheme that he wants to. And so it's a two-way street, really.
Derek Carr clearly finished up the end of 2023 strong, winning 4 of the last 5. Touchdowns to interceptions was strong. His completion rate was 75%, and really kind of picked that up where he was, which is kind of hard to do. And just 5 touchdowns. He had one sack in each game, but for 1 yard. Your thoughts about his play and how he's kind of adapted? Because to me, he's the guy that started all 17 games last year, and he was hurt. He battled through. Just your thoughts about how he has adapted and kind of taken, the shots that quarterbacks take in the NFL, both on the field and off the field, and he's handled it very well.
Yeah, look, last year, you mentioned it earlier, we started off 2-0, and Derek's doing well, and then he gets hurt. And look, to his credit, he played through. He played through that when a lot of people wouldn't, and that's to his credit. But it didn't really allow him to put his best foot forward in the middle part of that season last year. And then he got feeling better and obviously got more comfortable with not just the offense, but the players on this team, and played pretty well at the end of last season. And I think he's carried that forward in terms of his personal play. And I think that's a big part of it. Obviously, he's worked his butt off to adapt to what Clint is asking him to do. develop a rapport with the receivers and the backs that we have, and look, it's paid off so far, and that's really, you know, a credit to him and our coaches, and the way and the amount of work that they've put in. And look, you know, in terms of you know, the other stuff, if you're the quarterback of an NFL team, you're going to get a lot of flowers when things go well, and you're going to get a lot of criticism when they don't. It just comes with the job. That's part of the reason they get paid so much, right?
It does seem to go with the job for sure.
Yeah, and look, the you know, fans and the media in this day and age, in particular, they don't look beyond, you know, the wins and losses. They're not, honestly, it's just not sophisticated enough to look beyond that oftentimes. And so, but again, it's just part of the territory.
We are speaking with Saints Executive Vice President and General Manager Mickey Loomis. And I don't know if what role you have in this, but this has got to be the toughest job in the world, and that is to pick the Saints Fan of the Year. The Saints have joined forces with Keesler Federal Credit Union to celebrate the ultimate Saints fan. So, and the winner is going to receive an all-expense-paid trip to the Super Bowl 59 right here in New Orleans at Caesars Superdome. So you get to nominate fans. You got to go to the Saints website, NewOrleansSaints.com/fans, Saints Fan of the Year. So you nominate someone who inspires others with their love for Saints football, and I can think of, right, 66,000 pretty much off the top that are going to be in that number. Interesting kind of contest you have here, and this was a tough one, right, having to pick one? It's like picking your favorite child, right?
Yeah, that's right. Well, I don't have anything to do with it, fortunately, because, yeah, there's going to be thousands and thousands of great candidates for that title.
Again, go to the Saints website, NewOrleansSaints.com/fans, Saints Fan of the Year. And while we're kind of here, because I just mentioned it, you did get to see your son, Alex Loomis, who started with the Saints, worked his way up. Now he's the Dallas Cowboys Director of Pro Scouting, has been since 2017. I'm just curious as to the dynamic, I guess, just during the regular season or during the offseason. I mean, he's your son, you talk all the time, but does that dynamic change at all the week prior to the game or, you know, day of the game, anything like that?
Yeah, that's a good question. Yeah, he's been with the Cowboys for 15 years, and he never actually worked for us except when he was in college at LSU, I might add. He worked in training camp for us, but we don't talk a lot about football. Occasionally, if he has conversations, it might be with our, you know, our pro director, Michael Parenton, or, you know, his counterpart here, when they're talking about players that you know, they have an interest in that was with us or vice versa. So that there might be some opinion exchange from them. But for us, it's I try not to put him in that position ever of, you know, talking about football. Look, I know he's probably pissed off, to be honest with you, that they lost to us. I would be if we lost to them. And yet, you know, you put your head down and you go to work, because there's another game coming up quickly.
And final question, and we'll bring in Chris Long into this conversation, but this is about Taliese Fuaga, your starting left tackle, the rookie. And we talked at the start of Irvine at camp and some during it, but I don't think I've ever seen a rookie kind of come in so seamlessly. Maybe it's because he's an offensive lineman. Didn't have to go in front of the media for the first couple of weeks. He just kind of got to learn his way, and he certainly played his way, earned the respect of his teammates, which was huge. And I think even Dennis said he just kind of matured beyond his age. But I mean, you can't ask for a whole lot more than what you've seen out of that kid, huh?
Yeah, you know, he's been really good so far. You know, to his benefit, we haven't had to drop back and just throw it in obvious situations where the defense can pin their ears back and just come. So he's benefited from that, certainly. But look, we've had some offensive linemen come in early, play early, be mature. You know, Jari Evans comes to mind. Like, you know, the day he walked on campus, it was obvious he was ready to play in the NFL, even though you wouldn't have expected it from Bloomsburg. And, you know, our coaches did a great job of preparing him, but there was a maturity and a confidence there that he had. And obviously, Taliesin is off to a good start, and you feel some of those same qualities. And there's been other guys too. Charles Bentley was a guy and like that. So, but yeah, he's off to a really good start. We're excited about, you know, the offensive line and how they've played these first two games. And yet again, it's two games in.